There's probably nothing more critical for a wife and a husband than to be in agreement or be on the same page with their faith. This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. He's a counselor and coach and your advocate for the family. Your questions, comments, and stories about having a same-page faith in your marriage are welcome now at 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Now, from the broadcast studios of the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your marriage and your faith, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. And I do welcome you live here to the Intentional Living Center today. And I think Kurt got us set up pretty well here for you to call 888-888-1717. This program is going to make a lot of sense to those of you who have a strong faith. You love the Lord. God is doing something in your life. You really want to follow Him, and you're trying every day to grow in your relationship with Him, and you have a spouse who's on a different page. Maybe even in the book with you, but not on the same page, or they may even not be in the same book. And it's going to be, you're going to relate to this today, because the question is, what should you do? How do you handle that? Maybe you've decided how to be intentional. Maybe you have a question for me. Give me a call, 888-888-1717. Or it may be that both of you don't have much of a faith. You're just listening today, and you're not that strong in your faith, and you're not finding this to be that much of an issue anyway. So people will experience what we're going to talk about today in different ways, but I will tell you, this is a big deal. If you go to this, let me give you a little biblical oversight on this, and then we're going to take your calls with your questions. My wife and I, we've been married a lot of years, and we're on the same page spiritually. When we have disagreements, it's over the little things when it comes to our faith. I can't even think of those, frankly, but I guess from time to time you have disagreements. But some of you, you're listening, and you and your spouse can't even agree if there's a God or not. That's a big deal, because that will drive your decisions about how you raise your kids, spend your money, about a lot of things in life. Should we be teaching our kids about faith? Should we be tithing? Some of you have disagreements about music on Sunday morning. I mean, that's what you argue about, you know. Should we be singing contemporary music or more choir music on Sunday morning? And that comes up in your marriage, all the way to, is there a God or not? And the Apostle Paul, when he was ministering to the Corinthians, the church in Corinth, he saw there were some problems in the church. And it's a fascinating chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. If you want to know what Paul has to say through Scripture about sex and marriage, 1 Corinthians 7, the first nine verses is all about sex and how that should be handled in marriage. Then he turns to the principles of, if you're married to an unbeliever, how do you handle that? And I want to just take a moment, and then we're going to get you on the line, because I want you to join in and ask a question, or tell everyone who's listening, because we need each other. This is a community of believers. This is a big deal today. How are you learning as a follower of Christ to love your spouse, to be intentional in God's intentional love in your life for your spouse who may be on a different page? But here's what Paul says. Starting in verse 12, he says, "Now to the rest of you, I, not the Lord, say, if any brother has a wife who does not believe and she's willing to live with him, let him not divorce her." Okay, we'll come back to that in a moment. "And a woman," he repeats it now, reverses it for women. "And a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he is willing to live with her, let her not divorce him." Paul showing he was respecting both men and women in this situation. "For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife." What does that mean? We'll talk about that in a moment. "And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, and now they are holy. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases." Key sentence, "but God has called us to peace." I want to talk about that in a moment, because this is a big deal in this topic. "For how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband?" Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? Here are four principles. These are four of God's intentions on this topic. Number one, lack of agreement is not the basis for divorce. Okay? It's very clear here. Paul is saying, if you have a spouse and you don't agree, I mean, you're in like different worlds when it comes to your faith, and they're willing to continue in this marriage, then you don't divorce saying, well, we were unequally yoked and I'm out of here. That is not a biblical basis for divorce, what the scripture teaches. Doesn't mean it's not difficult. Second thing, it says in verse 14, one believer is enough for family. May be hard, but it's enough. I heard one pastor say that one Christian in the family makes it a Christian family. I thought, wow, that struck me. Because we always talk about being on the same page and in agreement. But listen, if you're the believer and you're in that family, it may be hard, it may be tough, it may be feel impossible, but you're the believer and you've been sanctified, means set apart. That means it's enough. Your job, number three, your job is to create. Here's what it says in verse 15. Listen, this is tough. Your job is to create an environment of peace. I tell you, a lot of the families I've dealt with over the years where there's non-believer and a believer, there's war going on. You know, you got faith fights going on all the time, arguing, disagreeing. And, you know, come on, you know what I'm talking about. Maybe this is something you've wrestled with. God has called us as believers in all relationships, certainly in our marriage, to have an environment of peace. And then number four, and then we're going to get to your calls here, because I want to open the lines. I'd love to have you come and join in. Maybe you have a thought on this, a perspective. Maybe you have a question. I'd love to have you join us. Number four, it's not your job to be the Holy Spirit, verse 16. You're not your job to be the Holy. You're not going. How do you know they're going to get saved or not get saved or grow in their faith? What we tend to do, come on, we're always doing the elbow jab spiritually. I see that in conferences sometimes. I say something and it resonates. They go, oh, yeah, that's what he needs to do or she needs to do. That's not our job. Our job is to follow God's intention to grow in our own relationship. Four things. Okay, you agree, disagree, what's your experience? This is a community of believers here at Intentional Living Center. Big topic, big deal. What's your question? What have you learned about being married in a marriage where you and your spouse are not necessarily on the same page? Maybe in the same book. You may be both believers, but you're not on the same page. Or all the way to, we're not even in the same book. Give us a call. 888-888-1717. What do you think?
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Every time we hear of a birth of a baby or go to a hospital and see a birth of a baby or hold a newborn baby, we should see that as one of these big stop signs. Say, just stop for a moment and appreciate that God is giving us a sign of the miracle of birth, the miracle of life. In a culture in which we live, it talks about this was random and all of these molecules just over billions of years came together into you and me. I don't buy that. There's got to be more than that. And we can stop and appreciate at the point of a birth of a newborn baby, God's love and grace as a sign. I think that's a sign for us.
In fact, there are six of them in this teaching this month from the Intentional Living Center. When I sat down to create this lesson, I was thinking of all the signs that we have in the world. I mean, you can't drive a mile down the highway without running into the speed signs, don't pass signs, construction signs, warning signs. And if you took all the signs off all the highways in America, the death rate would go way up, right? Because they help protect us. And there are signs that God places before us that we should stop, and the scripture is full of many of them, and I teach on six this month. Members, watch for it. It's on its way, or you probably have already received it for this month by now. I have in our home. And if you're not a member, I invite you to come and be a part of the journey with us here at the Intentional Living Center. James just joined us just in the last few days from Albuquerque. Thank you, James. Your monthly gift is going to go right back into mission and ministry. Donna joined us from Alamosa, Colorado. Thank you for doing that. Here's Gary from Macon, Georgia, joining us in monthly support.
amounts? What amount? It's up to you, what God lays on your heart. I can just tell you, here was $40 a month, here's $20, here's $100. All of that's going back into reaching people for Christ. Come and join us. We'll get you the teaching, the entire teaching this month, plus two of our best-selling books from the Intentional Living Center to say thank you for your support. All you have to do is go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Click on Donate and come and join us. Or you can call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. And when you do, if you press number 4, that's the prompt code there. It'll take you right to our staff. Love to talk to you. All right, come and join us. Give us a call at 888-888-1717. If you feel, we use the word unequally yoked. That's not something we just on the streets talk about. You know, I'm unequally yoked. That's a biblical reference from Scripture. And, of course, you've probably heard that talks about the oxen being in a yoke where they're pulling in the same direction. If you have one pulling this way and one pulling that way, what does the Bible say? How can two walk together unless they be in agreement? It creates a problem. It creates tension. But there are three things that I think are habits. We talk about the power of one thing at Intentional Living. Can I encourage you, if you're in this situation, there are three things that we learn from Scripture that work. Number one, I would encourage you to make peace a daily priority. Peace as a daily priority. What does that mean? When there's a fight to be had, don't pick it up. I mean, don't do it. Don't go after it. If there's something that you think you need to say or and you know it's not going to be beneficial in terms of the relationship with your spouse, not going to be welcomed or encouraging, it's not going to build them up, don't say it. So peace is a decision. And the Scripture teaches, the Bible's telling us here, if you're living with a person and they're not a believer and not on the same page, your job is to build a place of peace. In a world in which we live, the world in which we live today is not a place of peace. We're taught to fight, defend what we stand for. Yes, we need to defend our faith. We need to stand firm with what we believe. I'm not talking about weakness here. I'm not talking about a sense of being a pushover or a doormat, spiritually or otherwise, but I'm talking about not picking fights to be a place of peace. Secondly, here's a habit for you if you want to be intentional. Make prayer a daily habit. Pray for unity. Lord, help this home be a place where we can have unity. I pray for my spouse that they would be drawn to you. And help me, should start with ourselves, help me be the person that you want me to be in my life. All right, let's go to some calls here. You're welcome to join us as well. Maybe you have a question or comment. 888-888-1717. I think Betty's on the line with us. Tell us your story, Betty.
Well, I just wanted to share that my husband and I have been married for 26 years. And back in the beginning, I was a Christian, but not really walking out my faith. And my husband didn't have much of a faith at all. So as my faith began to grow and I really began to follow God, of course, I wanted my husband to come along with me. But I used to just really just tell him all the time, oh, you need to do this, you need to do that, and just really almost beat him over the head with it because I wanted it so badly.
You were kind of like the Holy Spirit's assistant.
Oh, my gosh. I have a friend who woke me up because she's from Massachusetts, and she told me, now, Betty, don't try to be Holy Ghost Junior.
There you go.
And so what I learned was through my reading of the Scripture, I was really convicted that, yes, we're not meant to try to win them by words, but by our actions. And so I just let him see my love for Christ. And he wanted what I had in the end. And the best part of the story is after 26 years, okay, this will make me cry. Last year he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And a friend gave me a scripture a long time ago. It was Acts 26:18. It says, I'm sending you to open their eyes and turn them from the darkness to the light and from the power of Satan to God. So we can, they can have forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith.
Wow.
That's a great scripture. And, you know, for a long time I thought, well, it's not me he's sending. You know, and I used to pray that it would be one of his friends or somebody else. And would you believe that in the end, it was me? So my point in calling is to tell people, don't give up, but just keep your eyes on Christ.
Mm. All right. Well, thank you for taking the time, Betty, to give us a call. That's a great story. It doesn't always end that way, though, does it? You know, we'd like to think it would, and we want to pray for that end, but that it should be encouraging to some who are saying, I've been in this a long time. Sounds like that's your case, Jane. You've been at this a long time and concerned for and praying for your husband. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I've listened for years. First time I've called, but this really touched me because I'm so proud that we're at the place we are and that we're getting ready to celebrate our 50th anniversary in June.
Congratulations.
And it hasn't been easy from a faith standpoint. And as I was telling the gentleman on the phone, I learned a lesson. I was behaving not as God wanted a wife to behave, but I was acting superior, better than. I was not honoring my husband. And I was at a women's conference, and I was told to change my behavior and not worry so much about his. And that was the message I got. And boy, I really, I felt God just really working in my heart. And so I had to change and realize that we were in this marriage and he was the father of our children and I needed to honor him.
Well, what are some things you changed specifically? What did you do?
I quit nagging.
Yeah.
I quit worrying about when we go to church as a family. I quit worrying about whether he was listening, not listening. There were certain things that I continued to do, and I always told him I would pray about things for our family, and he knew that, and he honored me back.
Yeah.
And we raised our children in the church. And
so he didn't fight you. It wasn't that he's fought you about faith. He just hasn't been at the same level or on the same page.
No, he didn't, but he, at times would early on kind of made fun and let it be known that he didn't believe like I did.
Mm-hmm.
And so at times it was challenging.
Yeah, and that stings. Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you guys doing now after 50 years? How would you, give a status on your relationship spiritually now?
Well, I still pray for him. I had Stormy O'Martian's book of
uh-huh.
Praying for Your Husband.
Power of a Praying Wife, I think it's called. Yeah.
Yeah, Praying Wife, and I use that every single day, and it has really those prayers have kept me going. On knowing how to pray and what to pray.
Yeah.
I just think that book was so helpful.
Yeah, she's been very helpful.
Yeah, and I did get discouraged. And so there would be times like today, your program encouraged me that the things that you were mentioning to do are things that I think I've tried to do, and I have been the spiritual leader of our whole family. And I'm so gratified, though. I got an answer, praise from God when we were asked to write a letter to our son who's getting ready, our grandson who's getting ready for his first communion. And we had to write a letter. And my husband wrote a letter, and the things he said in the letter let me know that he valued my position in the family and how we've raised our family, and that he's proud of our grandson for putting his faith first and putting Jesus to work in his life.
Well, and so much of it, I think, Jane, is that we're not always on the same. We could be closer on the same page than you think, but some people don't express it. Some are not as verbal in marriage. Powerful. And I think the two calls, Jane, your call saying, hey, we're still in process, we're still headed that way, I'm praying. And then we had Betty earlier saying, hey, I prayed, and now we're on the same page. we never give up. It's a daily thing. You know, I was talking about these three things. Peace, that's what Scripture says. Make that a daily habit. Prayer, a daily habit. And the third one, using the words that start with P, make praise a daily activity. You know, the Scripture says that God inhabits the praise of His people. And so as we praise Him, God, thank you for our children. Thank you for our family. Thank you for my spouse. Thank you for, we got so many blessings around us. When we focus on the things and give Him praise, God inhabits that. It's a powerful thing. All right, we're running out of time. We'll get some more calls. You're welcome to join us because we're going to stay here after the program and continue to talk about how in the world do we deal with not being on the same page with the most important thing in the lives of many of us, our faith. 888-888-1717.
Hi, this is Dr. Kevin Lehman with advice on how you can become an intentional parent. What do you do when you find a pornographic magazine under the mattress in your 13-year-old's bedroom? You know, ladies, that happens a lot. There's a lot of stuff out there that, quite frankly, is disgusting. But the question is, what do you do when you find this stuff? Yeah, I know you're going to call your husband and cry at work. I know that. But what do you do with your kid is the question. You know, a real good idea might just to be able to put that magazine in such a place on the coffee table with the other magazines you have in your home and let your 13-year-old come in and see that. And mark my words, you'll have an expression on your face you haven't seen in a long time. And at that point, you say, honey, you know, I found this thing at the most unusual spot today, under your mattress. And I can't imagine how that got in this house. In other words, I'm saying your son brought it in the house. Your son needs to get rid of that. And then have the discussion. Honey, I'm glad to know you're interested in the opposite sex. That's a normal thing. But talk about the demeaning nature of that magazine and how it affronts you as a woman. Make it a teachable moment, okay? Make a difference in your kid's life.
And listen, I'll tell you, young men need to grow up and learn to respect women in a world that disrespects women many times. And so it's a good message. Now, of course, you know, it's not the magazine underneath the bed. It's the internet wire coming into our house or the wireless that's coming in. And so parents, it's a little more difficult. But listen, do you know what your kids are viewing? Do you know what's going on in the internet, the things coming into your home? One of the things that we do is we lock the doors on our home to keep out that which we don't want. But now with technology, things get into our home that we may not even know about with our kids. A word to the wise. All right. Hey, listen, speaking of parenting and marriage, that was Dr. Kevin Lehman, and he and I are going to be speaking at Hope for Your Home, which is also going to be filled with a lot of help and humor. And we're going to be in Glendale at the Glendale Nazarene Church on Saturday, April 21. What is that? That's about what? 1 month from now, less than 4 weeks to go. Gold Circle's already sold out. We're going to sell out, I'm thinking, probably pretty early. Love to have you come and be a part of this. All the proceeds go to the ministry to impact people for Christ. We want you to be a part of it. It's a Saturday. Open the doors at 8. Yeah, get started at 8:30. Let you out by 12:30 so you have the rest of the day with your family. Marriage and parenting. We're going to talk about making children mine without losing yours, the principles of having an intentional marriage, and taking your questions as well. It's going to be a lot of fun. The Glendale Nazarene Church, Saturday, April 21st. Tickets available today when you go to theintentionallife.com. Theintentionallife.com. Click on the events there, okay? All right, Logan's in Florida. Welcome to the program, Logan. What's your question today?
Hi. So I'm currently in a dating relationship, and serious about my faith. And there have been times in the past where my boyfriend has, I haven't seen him pursuing his faith as much as maybe I have, and I've wondered what your opinion was on being unequally yoked in a dating relationship.
Well, it's not my opinion. I'll give you my opinion. My opinion is, based on watching this over many years, it creates problems. I haven't seen anything good come from two people who get married and not be on the same page spiritually. I don't see anything good come out of it. I mean, I see couples make it work. And I see people who love each other, and they go through the process, but it's difficult. But moving from my opinion to what Scripture teaches, the Bible says don't be unequally yoked with a non-believer. Now, in your case, you're saying you're both believers, but you're just not on the same page, maybe, or growing spiritually. in the same direction. Now, I'm not sure when everybody gets married, they're exactly at the same level. There's always people growing, not growing, and so on. If I were you in this situation, if this person that you're dating, that you care for and even love perhaps, is not a believer, that's a big red warning sign. Because what happens before marriage can also continue after marriage. But if you're just saying, hey, my faith is really important to me, I would really encourage you to get with a pastor, a premarital counselor, with someone who's godly, who can start asking some of the questions. How does your faith impact, how does his faith impact, where is he spiritually? And how is that going to impact how you raise your kids, how you spend money, how you're going to live, and so on? But I will say this, Logan, if someone has a yellow sign before they get married, they'd be foolish to go ahead and get married without at least slowing down and making sure that for his sake and yours, that you guys are on the same page.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right. Well, she wanted a response. I gave it to her. But I will say this. Nobody's perfect, okay? And when we get married, if our thought is, hey, this person I'm marrying is not as spiritual as I want them to be, that can become a pride issue too. And so we got to realize, and I'll say this to the person who's a non-believer listening today, I think it's a disservice to you to marry a strong believer and expect somehow that they're going to come over and be like you, or that you're going to go over and be like them. This cuts both ways, and I think that's why God says this. What do believers and non-believers have in common? I think this is true on a lot of levels because it impacts how we raise our kids, how we view sex, how we view spending money, and all of these things. This is why it's a really big issue. So if you're not on the same page, boy, and you're getting a yellow sign, that blinking yellow warning sign that's dangers ahead, clouds are coming down the path, you'll be wise to slow down and get some time to pray and think it through. Just a thought. Hey, that's the music. We're out of here, but I'll tell you what, we're going to stay in the studio after the end of the theme here and the program ends to talk on tape or on nowadays on the computer for a later date that'll be airing the program. Okay, so give us a call, 888-888-1717, if you have a question or comment on not being on the same page spiritually. Intentional Living, our mission is to help you and your family experience hope, freedom, peace, joy, and purpose through God's intentional love. Putting up with pushy people is certainly a challenge. We'll talk about that next time from Intentional Living. See you tomorrow.